Blog Talk Radio.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free.
Reminds me of when I was a small child, little boy. It's such a beautiful song, and it brings back great memories. And continuing the this month's Christmas theme, because this is not the holiday season, but the Christmas season, and we want to talk about Christmas and politics and political correctness, and we've been doing so all week long, and this will cap off the week of political correctness, Christmas being cast aside and vilified by those on the left, and atheists and people of that ilk. So, let's kick it off right now. Today is December 3rd, 2010. We're in beautiful Washington, D.C., and the United States of America still, and planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I am your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones, and we have a Christmas alert. There is a school out there. I'm sure there's more than one, but the one we're going to talk about right now, a school rips Christmas off of calendar. That's our first Christmas political correctness alert. Christmas or holiday, which ones should school systems use on their official calendar? This is from an article written today. The 2011-2012 calendar, approved by the board at a meeting November 9th. At the New Hanover County Board of Education, has angered many Christians in the area. So, the meeting was held November 9th, and The calendar does not list Christmas or Easter. Instead, each is recorded as holiday. I think they've offended a lot of people, said Teresa McCoy, owner of Cox Christian Bookstore. They have offended the Christians who love God and the Christians that want to talk about Christmas. Board Chair Ed Higgins said he asked his fellow board members if anyone wanted to discuss the calendar before they voted last month, but no one did. He believes Christmas should be recognized. Why not recognize Christmas? If one or two people, which is usually the case, find themselves to be offended by a school or any other organization celebrating Christmas, why don't they just not participate? And why should the many be held hostage for the benefit of the few? And as with what we were talking about, we've been talking about all week, usually there's just a very few people who are who have an issue with Christmas. And if we don't want to offend anyone, which is always the reason given, we don't want to offend anyone, well, it's absurd on its face because you're offending Christians, which is why it makes the news, because somebody of Christian faith is finds themselves offended by the fact that Christmas isn't celebrated. So then, if the goal is not to offend anyone, then the point is moot. Put the Christmas tree up, put the Christmas tree calendar in the calendar, and let's say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Damn it! This is all very bizarre and absurd. I mean, not to belabor the point, but if the goal is not to offend anyone, then the goal has not been met. Because right now I'm offended, and I'm sure there. And as this article indicates, there are many others who are offended as well. So, since we are offended, put the Christmas tree up. Now, Chase orders South Lake Bank to remove Christmas tree. This is item number 2. South Lake Chase Bank told a businessman to remove the Christmas tree he donated at a local branch because it could offend people. Well, Clarence Jones, right now I'm offended, so put the tree back. Antonio Morales, owner of the Bellagio Day Spa in South Lake, had assembled and decorated a 9-foot-tall tree in the lobby of the Chase Bank branch at 1700 East South Lake Boulevard as a favor to the branch manager, who is one of his clients. The tree remained in the lobby from the Monday before Thanksgiving until Tuesday. Morales said his friend called him Wednesday to tell him the tree had to go. She later showed him an email from J.P. Morgan Chase saying that the tree had to be removed because, wait for it, because some people were offended by it. One more time, if some people are offended by it, there are going to be other people who are offended because it's not there. This is absurd. Are we living in a bizarro world or what? What has happened here? Greg Hassel, a J.P. Morgan Chase spokesman said that the company's policy isn't anti-Christmas. Wow, really? People wish their customers Merry Christmas when it's appropriate. Huh, he said. However, to ensure that everyone who visits Chase branches feels welcome and comfortable, the bank policy is to use only decorations supplied by the company. All right. Okay. Look. To ensure that everyone who visits Chase branches feels welcome and comfortable. Well, damn it, I have a Chase card. Just got it. High balance, high limit, high limit. I'm thinking of cutting that up. Because right now, I don't feel very welcome and very comfortable. So, everyone who visits Chase Branch feels welcome and comfortable. How is he supposed to ensure that? About anything. It's absurd. We appreciate the thoughtful gesture from Mr. Morales, Hassel said. Unfortunately, of course, there's always an unfortunate that follows an appreciation. Unfortunately, we're unable to keep it, the tree, on display for the remainder of the holiday season. It's the Christmas season, you moron. J.P. Morgan Chase ensures that decorations are something everyone is comfortable with. And once again, how would you know what everyone is comfortable with? Because right now, if I walk into a Chase bank and I know that a tree was there and now it's gone, that's going to make me pretty damn uncomfortable. Now, I'm starting to become annoyed. J.P. Morgan ensures that decorations are something everyone is comfortable with, regardless of how they celebrate the season, Hassel said. Hassel needs to lose his job. Hassel should be out on the street right now. Hassel should be going to the unemployment office first thing Monday. Are you kidding? Hassel should be gone. Now, others see the tree as a symbol of the season. Yeah, the Christmas season. A spokeswoman at Trinity Bank in Fort Worth said it has had a tree in its lobby since the Friday after Thanksgiving. I've been in this business more than 30 years, she said. In every place I've worked, we put up a Christmas tree the day after Thanksgiving. She's the assistant vice president. Her name is Linda Robertson. Brian Fisher, director of issue analysis for the American Family Association, called Chase's decision absurd. Yes, as did I. According to Advertising Age, 91% of American people celebrate Christmas. 91%, according to Advertising Age, Fisher said. That means that the single most inoffensive thing you can do at this time of year is wish someone Merry Christmas. Thank you. Damn. Fisher said that companies that have gotten away from acknowledging Christmas claim that they do it because they want to be inclusive, which, once again, what's that word we were going with? Absurd. The most inclusive thing you can do is wish someone Merry Christmas, he said. That means that Chase is running the risk of offending far more people by disrespecting Christmas than they are by honoring it, of course. Where do these people come from? What are they thinking? It's not only illogical and irrational and stupid, it's absurd. And stupid and illogical and irrational. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. As with most things that are politically correct. Hassel, the moron at South Lake Branch, said that South Lake Branch was supplied with stickers that resemble Christmas lights. Companies supply decorations vary at other branches, he said. I'll bet they do, you idiot. My goodness. Normally they're small, not intrusive, and I'm not sure this morale of Christmas tree was intrusive. That's not really the issue here, he said, stupidly. It isn't a company-supplied decoration. Oh, that's the issue. Oh, my goodness. If this guy is not a complete and utter moron, or just an idiot, or something. Hassel said the policy has been around for a few years, and that decorations change every year. Morales said that he enjoys the Christmas season, so much that he decorated 35 trees in his home. That seems a little excessive. That's a lot of trees. He must have a pretty big spread. I'm known for my Christmas trees, he said, no doubt. In fact, Morales shared his talent this season with his landlord, a plastic surgeon. I put a tree up in his office, he said. It doesn't offend him, and he's Jewish. Thank you. Okay. So there are our two absurd, politically correct, Christmas alert, stupidity, ignoramus, moronic silliness. Let's move on to something really serious right now. Say goodbye to Granny, and say goodbye to your mama and dad. Say goodbye, because when they're a little older and they're unable to take care of themselves, and the healthcare system is like Canada, which it will be shortly, unless the Republicans do something about it. Mom and Dad are going to be ushered along to the nearest hospice where they can be provided with the minimal amount of care until they check out. Now, Mr. Tom Daschle, you know, the guy that was supposed to be the Health and Human Services czar for our illustrious deity, Mr. Obama, but he crapped out because he had a whole lot of tax issues and stuff. Well, he's back. And you know, those absurd and silly death panels that Republicans and conservatives and people were all up in arms about, that the health care bill provides for, that Democrats said, well, no, that's just silly. There are no such thing as death panels. The Republicans are just trying to scare you. It's a season of fear, they said, and misinformation. Well, Mr. Tom Daschle he's debunking the promise that there would be no death panels. Surprise! Remember when we were scoffed at and laughed at, when we dared to believe that there could possibly be death panels with Obamacare? I reiterate. Come to find out, we weren't wrong, were we? When interviewed and the question posed, asked if an 80-year-old would be able to have access to the same heart bypass under Obamacare as they have right now, Daschle hemmed and hawed. Of course he did. Responded with, well, what I think we have to do is encourage people to have, to think about options. Ooh, Uh-oh. Bye, Granny. Bye, Grandpa. We can't afford to take care of you. We're just going to have to shuffle you on over to the old folks' home. Think about options. And encourage them. Encourage them to think about whether to make whether that makes the most sense to have that heart bypass surgery or to just go off into the hills and die. That's not what he said, though. This is what he said. There could be all kinds of other options, oral options, hospice. The radio announcer had to remind Mr. Daschle that a hospice is a place where you go to die. Let's listen to this moron.
Who's going to feel the pain, and what will it be?
Well, all the stakeholders, everybody involved in health, has to be willing to come to the table to say, look, of that $600 or $700 billion every year in unnecessary care and expenses that we shouldn't be spending on health care, on the one out of every $5 we spend on paperwork, we've got to make some changes. And what I'm saying is that none of these changes are ever easy. You're going to have
to. Well,
the
patient, is the patient also one of those who has to come to the table?
The patient is the big winner because we're going to make.
So they don't feel any pain. You aren't talking about them pain. No pain for the patient.
Absolutely not.
No suffering. No less services. No cost in care.
Better service. Better quality. Here's the goal of healthcare reform. It's a high performance, high value system with greater access, better quality, and lower cost.
Well, that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. Everywhere else, and you've modeled this over the British plan. And the British, a panel, your Federal Coordinated Council for Comparative Effectiveness Research, is modeled, I believe, after the UK board that you discuss in your book and your praise. Let me let you hear from Robert Reich, September 26th of 07. He said, he was at the University of California, Berkeley, and he said, if I were running for president, because it was during the presidential campaign, and I didn't care about getting elected, and I was just going to tell the blatant, honest truth, here's what I would say, and here's Reich 1.
This is what the truth is, and a candidate will never say, but what candidate should say if we were in a kind of democracy where citizens were honored in terms of their practice of citizenship, and they were educated in terms of what the issues were, and they could separate myth from reality in terms of what candidates would tell them. By the way, we are going to have to, if you're very old, we're not going to give you all that technology and all those drugs for the last couple of years of your life to keep you maybe going for another couple of months. It's too expensive. So we're going to let you die.
And he also went on to talk about medical devices and innovation and new medications that are super expensive that also won't be developed. So you're not going to live longer than your parents did. Is he wrong, sir?
Yes.
A senior who needs a heart bypass at age 85 will have the same ability to get one under your plan once this is all implemented as they do right now or they did before this was voted on and implemented.
Well, what I think we have to do is to encourage people to have to think about options and to encourage them to think about whether that makes the most sense.
Well, what else would a patient do? You mean die?
No.
What option? If they need a heart bypass, what option does an 85-year-old have?
There could be all kinds of other
options. Like what, for instance?
There are oral options. There are hospice options. There are all kinds of things.
Hospice is where you go to die, sir.
Well, not necessarily. You're thinking of the old context.
Okay. A hospice is, according to Tom Daschle, a hospice is not the place that one would necessarily go to die. Okay. We all know where this is heading. Didn't a lunatic by the name of Adolf Hitler advocate this very same thing? And wasn't this advocated in other countries as well, where if you were unfortunate enough to be either mentally challenged, as folks call it, we used to call it retarded, but they go with mentally challenge now, so I'll go ahead and do that one. Or if you came from lineage judged to be not as strong as some others, or if you were infirm, if you were sick and elderly, that hey, you know what, you're a burden to the system, and you know the best thing for you to do is just go and die. I mean, this is what was done in Germany during the time of Hitler's reign. Is this where we're headed as a country? I mean, before President Obama took office, was any of this discussed out in the open? Was any of this in the news? Where these folks wouldn't dare speak this way. They would not be out in the open. Now, it seems to me that with Obama's presidency, the lights are turned on, and now we can see the roaches. We can see the roaches scattering about the counter. I don't have any here, but, you know, I've heard things. They're all out in the open now, and they feel it's safe to come out and start talking about, you know, folks who are 80 years old. Well, you'll be a burden on the system that we're trying to create here. And so rather than be a burden and take up valuable healthcare space, we'll just give you a pill or two and send you off to the nearest hospital where, you know, hospices have gotten a bad rap. They're not a place to just go and die, not necessarily, according to Tom Daschle. I mean, I think we should hear that again. Let's listen to that just once more.
To encourage them to think about whether that makes the most sense.
Well, what else would a patient do? You mean die?
No.
What option if they need a heart bypass? What option does an 85-year-old have?
There could be all kinds of other
options. Like
what,
for instance?
There are oral options. There are hospice options. There are all kinds of things.
Hospice is where you go to die, sir.
Well, not necessarily. You're thinking of the old context.
Oh, so no surgery, go to a hospice? And how do you get better in a hospice?
I was saying that the patient and the doctor ought to make that decision regardless, and you ought to give them as many options as you can.
Including death.
Well, that wouldn't be my choice. Would it be yours?
No, but you're saying that that's something they could
be on the list.
Well, you're saying that instead of the surgery, they could take oral medication, which if you need a bypass, you need a bypass, and go to a hospice. That doesn't sound like anything but death.
Well, look, you can demagogue this all you want.
I'm not demagoguing.
Well, yes, you are. I mean, it's a demagogic thing to say when you're at the end. You know, if you're 88 and you've got terminal cancer, and you want and somebody suggests maybe a heart bypass, it's your choice. But do you really want to do that, or do you want to take hospice?
But will it always be your choice, even under your plan?
That's my point.
All right. Well.
Okay. Tom Daschle has exposed himself. What goes on between a patient and his doctor is between a patient and his doctor. Why would Tom Daschle suggest that a patient consider all options? It's none of his business. But this administration, with their absurd health care law, is making it their business now. Ask yourself this question. If Ronald Wilson Reagan were president right now, would any of this be going on? If George Bush Jr. or Sr. were president, would we be talking about any of this? Would this even be something that would even be considered? Because where I come from, and what's so great about being a conservative, one of the many things that it's so great about being a conservative is that all life is sacred. From the womb to the tomb, it's all sacred. But with Democrats, apparently it's not. If you become a burden, not only on, not, you know, it's gone from being a burden on your parents or your relatives Now old people, as they're referred to, elderly people, are now going to be considered a burden on society, on America, on the American healthcare system. So bye, Granny. Granny, if you get sick, you're out of luck. Granny may as well bend over and kiss her old bud goodbye. And Mom and Dad won't be too far behind. And then, guess what? You and me. We're done next. But there are all these folks out there saying the healthcare system is great. Oh, what Obama's doing has been historic. It's talked about in terms of history. Clinton wasn't able to do it. Roosevelt wasn't able to do it. All of these presidents who wanted to do this were not unable to do it. But Obama was able to do it. He enacted a historic health care legislation so that all people would be taken care of. Never mind that it doesn't work anywhere in the world, and that there are people who are on waiting lists for basic surgery in Canada. Those folks come across and have their surgery here. People from other countries from all over the world come to America for their medical care. Never mind that we have the greatest healthcare system in the world on this planet, period, bar none. It's not quite good enough because it doesn't meet with Obama's version of a utopian healthcare system, because his mama was laying on her deathbed and he visited the hospital a few times, and he was not pleased with the care that his mama was given. So he vowed that when he became president, I'm paraphrasing him, that he would change the healthcare system so that people like his mama would get better care. Meanwhile, my mama, God rest her soul, she got some great health. She got great health care while she was here. It just didn't happen to be enough. But your mama, if she's still here, and your grandmama and granddad and dad, if they're still here, they're going to get great health care thanks to Mr. Obama. Because if mama has cancer, or if mama needs a heart operation, or and she's 75, 80 years old, well, no. No, 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 no. She's too old. She's just going to be taking up valuable space meant for a younger person, a person who has more potential, because Granny used up all her potential, according to the Obama administration and Tom Daschle. Your mama's not worth saving. So all of you folks out there who are applauding this new healthcare system, I want you to do two things. Do your homework, read up on it, and then, to put the icing on the cake, take a ride over to your nearest VA hospital. The VA hospital is a government-run hospital from top to bottom, day in and day out. And I want you to just walk around. Just observe what goes on at a VA hospital. Go over to the pharmacy section of the VA hospital where they dispense the drugs and observe all the many folks there sitting on the little chairs with the little number thing in their hand waiting for hours for their prescriptions to be filled. These are once great warriors, protectors of our great nation, waiting for hours for a simple prescription to be filled, waiting for hours to see a doctor. Our once great warriors waiting, waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and then being severely mistreated the whole time. I have had the unfortunate experience of visiting a VA hospital a time or two. These are government-run agencies. This is a government-run hospital. And if, after visiting the VA hospital, you are not terrified enough to want to see this healthcare reform, healthcare law repealed, then you're just a sadist. That's all I can say. I mean, I'll just say, okay, fine. You know, just wait until you get sick and wait until granny gets sick or your mama. And then, you know, when mama, when you used to be able to make an appointment for mama and the doctor would see you the next day and, well, mama's diabetic. Mama's suffering from heart failure. Mama's a little overweight. Mama's suffering from diabetes and heart blood pressure, high blood pressure. But you want to get mama in for a checkup because mama's been feeling a little listless lately. She's been slurring her words and you're concerned about her. She hasn't been herself. And you want to get her an appointment. You want an appointment. It's 3 years from now when Obama's health care has kicked in full steam. The Republicans have been unable to dismantle it piece by piece as they promised, keeping some of the best parts of the bill and eliminating the worst parts. They've been unable to fulfill that promise, and Obama has been reelected for a second term. He has shorn up his health care legislation so that the death panels were in full swing. You know, those death panels that they said was not there. So you call your local doctor and he and his nurse or his receptionist informs you that, well, you know, we're all booked for the next 6 weeks. I can put you on a waiting list if you like. You know, in the meantime, you know, keep us posted on your mama's health. Because right now we're just swamped. There are so many new patients and so few of us doctors and nurses here. We just can't accommodate your mother. And so you make the appointment for 6 weeks down the road. If you're lucky, it's 6 weeks. I hear in Canada an appointment is 6 months. And then, if you're lucky, someone will cancel. And you have an option in Canada of being put on a waiting list, and then a waiting list for the waiting list in case someone cancels, and you can take their spot. So if someone who has a six-month wait is in the third or fourth month and they die, then you can be moved up into their spot so that your six-month wait is now only 2 or 3 months. So meanwhile, mommy's getting worse and worse. But there's nothing you can do because this doctor has your records, and according to your health care plan, Obama's health care plan, you can't go anywhere else. You have to stick with this one doctor in this one area, in this one town, in this one community. Mama, well, she's not doing so well. Mama's suffering. But there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do because there's no room at the inn. There's no space for mama. You call and you call and you call. I love you. I love you dearly. You call, and they keep telling you, ma'am, we can't help you. We can't help you. Your appointment's not for another 4 weeks. I know your mama's sick. I know she's not doing well. And I know you feel bad, but we can't. There's nothing we can do. This is how the healthcare system works here in America now. Meanwhile, mama's getting worse. Finally, the healthcare professional that you've been speaking with for the last 3 weeks and pleading with to get your mama in for an appointment, well, she takes pity on you and she says, tell me what's going on with your mom. You explain to the healthcare professional that your mom suffers from diabetes and heart failure and high blood pressure, and that she's not doing so well. Well, how old is your mom? The healthcare professional asks. She's 84. 84? Why didn't you tell me that before? The healthcare professional asked. And hope springs into your heart that now the healthcare professional sees, she understands the urgency of getting your mom in to see someone. She's much too old. What I recommend is that you take her over to the nearest hospice, and they'll give her some pills, and just let her go. Let your mama go. There's nothing we can do for her here. She's just too old. She's expired. She's lost her right to be cared for, because she's no longer useful to society as we see it. No, we're going to go ahead and cancel your mama's appointment in favor of someone who's younger, who is more useful to society, who's worth saving. Because your mama, she's lived her life. She was young and healthy once, but now she's just too old, and the collective, well, she's just bringing the rest of us down. So take your mama over to the hospice where Tom Daschle recommends you to do, and just let her go. She'll be comfortable there. She'll spend her last few days, weeks, and months there at the hospice. It's free, the healthcare professional tells you. And she hangs up. And all of this plays out because Obama, our Lord, our Savior, Daddy, Dada, has had an experience with his mother on her deathbed where he developed an attitude. My mama's not getting
the right care. I gotta get the voice right. My mama's not being treated right here. So I'm gonna fix this when I'm president.
So he decides that because his mama checked out and she wasn't treated fairly, according to him, everybody's going to suffer now. And remember a movie where there's this super villain who has no special powers. He feels left out. He feels that he's not so special, but he wants to be special. Do you know the movie I'm talking about? Pixar movie? Where he says, soon he'll make it so that everyone is special. And then when everyone is special, no one will be. See if you can figure out where that came from, which movie I'm thinking of. And that's what's going to happen to your mama. And your grandmother, and then you. Because Obama has decided that he's going to make everyone special. And that way, no one will be. Oh, yeah. Think about it. The next time you go kissing Mr. Obama's butt, I'm thinking how handsome and well-spoken he is and what a great president he is. When your mama's sitting in that wheelchair in the hallway of an overcrowded hospice. All right. Next topic. High school football player gets penalized for pointing to God. Oh, yeah. Political correctness gone amok. This is political correctness, stupidity, ignoramus gone amok number 3. Occasionally, we come across a story like this, and the injustice can only make you sit back, shake your head, and wonder what the hell is going on here. An extraordinary young man, Ronnie Hasty, who plays high school football in Spokane, Washington, beautiful place, by the way, always makes it a habit after scoring a touchdown to quickly kneel in the end zone and point to God in an effort to give him credit for the score and for his talent. In this particular game, after a 23-yard touchdown, he took 1.5 seconds to do what he's always done traditionally, quickly kneel and point to God. But this time, the ref didn't appreciate it and threw a penalty flag, yes, you heard me right, directly at his chest, docking the team 15 yards. Hasty said he's pointing up as a gesture to God after every touchdown he scored in every game and never had a problem before. It's usually 1 or 2 seconds long, he said. It's something I've done as a tradition. Hasty said he asked the ref why he was penalized, and the ref responded that Hasty wasn't supposed to draw attention to himself. All right. Absurdity alert from that sentence. He wasn't supposed to draw attention to himself. He ran for 23 yards and scored a touchdown. One would think that's drawn some pretty good attention to yourself, some attention to yourself right there. I mean, just that alone. But we won't argue the obvious, because this guy's completely an idiot. And quite frankly, I hope that he's out looking for a new job too, which is probably why the numbers went up, because he's been fired too. Because if I were there, he would be fired Jimmy Johnson style. Where kicker missed a kick one year when Jimmy Johnson was coaching the Dallas Cowboys, and the guy had his locker cleaned out before the game was over. He didn't even fly back with the rest of the team. This guy, this ref, would have been gone so fast. And you know what? I think this is what needs to happen. Something like this needs to happen to people who do stupid, really crazy stuff like this. They need to be fired on the spot. Get out of here. There's not even any hearing. I'll risk a lawsuit. Get out of here. But anyway, let me finish the story. That wasn't the point of the gesture, Hasty said. So I guess I was a little confused. I do that to give glory to my heavenly Father, Jesus. He gives me the strength. He's the one who gives me these abilities in the first place. Hasty's father said his son points skyward in an effort to recognize something more important. Actually, trying to draw attention away from himself. It wasn't flagrant. It wasn't drawn out. And it sets a great example to young people everywhere. You want my opinion? Political correctness needs to die. a slow and very painful death. You know, I see and hear and read about things like this happening all the time. This ref will probably ref the next game and the next game and the next game and on and on and on and on and on. As in yesterday's show, when we were young, when I was a kid, when I was younger, it didn't used to be like this. That ref would have been gone so fast, it would have made your head spin. And his too. All right. Keith Olbermann, MSNBC. What is going on with the Palin ladies? We've talked about this before. Olbermann, who just named Bristol Palin worst person of the year. Really? Is that the best you can do? Is that the worst you can do? Naming Bristol Palin worst person of the year due to her pro-abstinence ad just got swiped back at by none other than Bristol Palin herself on Facebook. The younger Palin wrote, recently, a left-wing commentator named Keith Olbermann attacked me for being a spokesperson for abstinence education and for being an ambassador for the Candace Foundation, which promotes teen pregnancy awareness and prevention education. He went so far as to call me the worst person he knows, apparently for my efforts to educate teenagers about the real world and risk of premarital sex. Accusing me of hypocrisy is by now an old canard. I love a woman who uses the word canard. What Olbermann lacks in originality, he makes up for with insincere incredulity. I like a woman who uses the word incredulity. Mr. Olbermann fails to understand that in order to have credibility as a spokesperson, it sometimes takes a person who has made mistakes. Indeed, parents warn their children about the mistakes they made, so they're not repeated. Former gang members travel to schools to educate teenagers about the risk of gang life. Recovered addicts lecture to others about the risk of alcohol and drug abuse. And yes, a teen mother talks about the benefits of preventing teen pregnancy. I have never claimed to be perfect. And if that makes me the worst person in the world to Mr. Olbermann, then I must apologize for not being absolutely faultless, like he undoubtedly must be. Mr. Olbermann, let me say this. You can attack me all you want, but you will not stop me from getting my message out about teen pregnancy prevention. And one day, if you ever have a daughter, you may change your mind about me. Bristol Palin. What a class act Miss Palin is. And what a moron and a fool is Keith Olbermann. I'm not sure what's going on with the left and their obvious obsession with the Palin girls, but it's not even annoying anymore, or it doesn't inspire anger. It's amusing. It's amusing and kind of sad in an amusing, sad way. So, Bristol, you go, girl. You almost took it all in Dancing with the Stars. Mama's hot. Dad's cool. And I guess just some people simply can't stand it. Oh, man. Howard Dean has gone over the edge again, if that's possible. He wants the government to take over MSNBC and Fox News, fair and balanced, and run their programming, because apparently the left is not getting their message out. And everybody in the whole world is tuned in to Fox News. And CNN and MSNBC and ABC and CBS and NBC and everybody else who has a news organization come in a distant second, all combined to Fox News. And I love it. And yes. Obama. What we've been talking about religion all week. And we've been talking about Christmas. And we've been talking about Christians. And we've been talking about political correctness. And we've been talking about Christmas trees and Christmas ornaments and Christmas decorations. But what we haven't talked about lately is Obama's faith. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we haven't talked about Obama's faith. What is it? It's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery inside a riddle wrapped in an enigma. Let's talk about it. The nonsense about President Obama being a Muslim has got to stop. I'm saying it right here and right now. I rise to defend him from this absurd accusation by pointing out that he is obviously an atheist. Oh, yeah. Leave aside Obama's fanatical opposition to allowing Illinois hospitals to save the lives of babies with God-given souls inadvertently born alive during abortions. He voted against that, allowing that to happen. Also, leave aside the fact that neither of his parents were Christians. And leave aside his current crop of spiritual advisors, which is a collection of Mother Earth worshipers, polytheists, and other non-believers. You know, just leave that aside. You know, we're running out of time. I'm going to pick up Obama is not a Muslim Monday. So much to say, so much to talk about, and so little time. We're going to have to go to a two-hour show because, you know what, I'm running out of time and I don't like it because this is a great topic and I want to get to it. But I'll be back with it. You tune in first thing Monday. And I will talk to you then. Have a wonderful weekend. Love you all, and I'll see you on Monday.
Twinkle, twinkle, little me. I have a lovely light. I'm the star upon your tree that makes your Christmas bright. Mm-hmm. Twinkle, twinkle. the Milky Way. Just so I could come and be with you on Christmas Day. Angels brought me where you are, and heaven gave me life. I'm that friendly little star you wish upon each night. Twinkle, twinkle, little me, I have a present too. If you give unselfishly and make a wish come true, I'll always shine for you. Hi, kids! Look out the window. You see that little star way up there? The one that's all alone? Well, that's me. That's right. And this Christmas, I'm coming all the way down to where you are just to light up your Christmas tree. And I hope to light up your heart. Well, twinkle, twinkle, little me, I have a present too. If you give unselfishly and make a wish come true, I'll always shine for you.
Good night, everybody.